Eric Joseph Gimel. So we start today. Today's daf is Sanach Gimel Amud Aleph, and we start by Sanach Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, "Define well." So if you remember, the Gemara now is going to pick up on the sugya. No, because Rosh Chodesh today, davening is 6:30. So we're going to throw the daf today. So if you remember again, the Gemara introduced to us yesterday this concept of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo, of going in and paskening Halacha in front of one's Rebbe. And the way the Gemara left off yesterday is that even if it's a matter of straight Halacha, you know, when we think about Psak, often we think that Psak refers to something a little bit more complicated, convoluted, something that requires a little bit more analysis. The Gemara indicated that even if the Halacha is quite straightforward, like the Gemara's example of that was Be'a B'Kuscha, right? The egg with Kusach, one would still not paskin in front of one's Rebbe. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Ravina, second line from the top, Sanch Gimel Amud Aleph. Ravina, Sar Sakina Bebovel. Ravina used to go ahead, Sar Sakin Rashi says, Bodok Sakin Letabach. Ravina used to check the knife for the Shochet. Velo Amru Laharos Sakin Lechocham, Ela Mitnek, I'm reading Rashi, Ela Mitnek Kvodo Shochacham. Vinimsa Ravina no telo ataris kvota ir, Rav Ashi Rabba Masa Machas Yahava, Vihi Bavel. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the halacha is, Gemara Masechet Chula brings down that one of the forms of color, one of the forms of honor that you give to the Chacham Ha'ir is that you show him the Shechita knife. Before doing Shechita, you give him the honor of inspecting it. So the Gemara says that Ravina would inspect the Shechita knife in Bavel, even though what? Even though his Rebbe Rav Ashi was still alive. Amali Rav Ashi, my taima avid marhoch. So Rav Ashi, his Rebbe, said to him, why are you doing this? And I'll say, interestingly enough, you can tell even from the verbiage over here that Rav Ashi is not asking this in an angry way. Rav Ashi is asking to understand the behavior of his student. The reason you know that is because he addresses him as Mar. Right? He could have just said, my time avid marhochi, why'd you do this? He says, my time avid marhochi. He speaks to him in a differential tone. Amalei, v'harav hanuna ori becharta da'argiz b'shneidrev chista. So, Ravina responds, but we have precedent because Rav Hanuna used to go ahead and paskin halach in Charsa de Argos when Rav Chista was alive, as long as Rav Chista was in a different city. So the Pashas didn't go over the case also, Ravina might have been in a different city. Then Rav Ashi, Amarle lav ori itmar, to which Rav Ashi corrected Ravina, and he said to Ravina, you have the wrong version of the episode. The version of the episode actually is that Rav Hanuna did not paskin halacha all of the years of his Rebbe Rav Chista, even when they were in different cities. Amarle itmar ori, v'itmar lo ori. So interesting enough, Ravina responds, well, Rebbe, there are actually two different versions of the Braisa. One version of the Braisa says that Rav Hanuna did paskin during the lifetime of his Rebbe Rav Chista. One Braisa says that Rav Hanuna did not paskin during the lifetime of his Rebbe Rav Chista. And what's the chilik? The Rav Hanuna Rabbehu de la Uri. So the Gemara says, I just lost the place here. Amalei itmar Uri, v'itmar lo Uri. Bishnei de Rav Hanuna Rabbehu de la Uri. So the Gemara says, in the years when his Rebbe Rav Hanuna was alive, he did not paskin. V'ori bishnei de Rav Chista. However, again, I will say, apparently, Rav Hanuna's original Rebbe was Rav Hanuna. When Rav Hanuna was alive, he did not paskin halacha during that time. Then what happened? Rav Hanuna died, and apparently Rav Hanuna went to learn under Rav Chista. During the years of Rav Chista, he would paskin halacha. Why? The Talmud chaver dilei hava. Because when it came to his relationship with Rav Chista, he was Rav Chista's Talmud chaver. If I say, what's a Talmud chaver? Look at Rashi. Talmud chaver, chacham kimoso. So what's a Talmud Chaver? A Talmud Chaver is a person who is just as great as a Talmud Chacham as his Rebbe. Just as great as a Talmud Chacham as his Rebbe. But nevertheless, he learned something from his Rebbe. So on one hand, he's a Talmud. He learned something from his Rebbe. But he's a chaver. He also enjoys a peer type of relationship. So the Gemara now is suggesting that when Rav Hanuna's primary Rebbe, Rebbe Shalamad, right, the Rebbe that taught him the majority of his wisdom was alive, he would not paskin halacha. However, when Rav Hanuna died and he adopted for himself another Rebbe, Rav Chista, even though Rav Chisda was his Rebbe, right, nevertheless, because he also had like a peer-like relationship with him, he would paskin halacha. Why is this important for us? So Ravina turns to Rashi and he says, Rebbe, va'ana tamid chaver demar ana. And Rebbe, my relationship with you is like the relationship of a tamid chaver. Right? I'm not just stam a tamid, I'm a tamid chaver to you. Therefore, because I'm a tamid chaver, I have the ability to paskin halacha even in your presence. Amar Rabba. So Rebbe says the following. So Rebbe Meir Rabbanan, Chazi the Nafshe. Rebbe gives another qualification. A Talmud Chacham is permitted to go ahead and check the Shechita knife when the Shechita is being done for him. Look at Rashi, the Nafshe. Bodek Sakin Lishchotbo. A person can check the knife to do Shechita with it. Huatzmo. Behema Shalom. So we'll say again, if the Talmud Chacham is, if an animal is being shechted for the Talmud Chacham, then the Talmud Chacham has the ability to check his own knife, meaning when I say checking his own knife, he's not doing the Shechita, but the Shechita is being done for him. Therefore, Lemaisa, he doesn't have to show the knife to his Rebbe. He could go and check it himself. So the Gemara tells the story. Ravina Ikla Lemechuza. Because we'll say again, in that case, it's not considered to be a lack of kavod to one's Rebbe if one doesn't show one's Rebbe one's knife, because again, one is not issuing general psak, but remember what's happening over here is that lemaisa, this is for oneself, therefore it's okay. So the Gemara tells the story. Rabina ikra lemechuza. Rabina went to mechuza, say mechuza, I see ush bezichne sakino the kamach vile. So what happens? So his host, apparently Rabina was staying like by an inn, so his host brought out the knife to show it to Ravina. To show it to Ravina. So the Gemara says, Amr lei, zil amtiye l'rava. So Ravina said, why are you showing the knife to me? You should really go ahead and show it to Rava. Rava was the Rava of the city. Show it to Rava. Amr lei, lo savar mar hada amr Rava. Surva me rabbanon chazi l'nafshe. So we'll also listen to this. So the innkeeper now says to Ravina, but Ravina, do you not hold like the statement of Rava, that Rava says that a Talmud Chacham could inspect the knife for his own shechita? To which the Gemara says, Amalei, Ravina said, Ana mizben zevina. So interesting enough, Ravina said, this is not my shechita, this is your shechita. Right? You're the host, this is your animal, you're shechting it for you. V'haraya, I'm buying it from you. When Rava said that a Talmud Chacham could inspect his own knife for Shechita, what Rava was talking about was the Talmud Chacham's animal is being shechted. It's my animal, I don't have to show the knife to someone else. I can look at the knife for myself. So Ravina says over here, this is not my animal. This is your animal. Varaya, you're charging me, you're probably going to make profit off it. Therefore, because of that, Rava's statement doesn't apply, and therefore you should show the knife to the Rav of the city. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Elazar Mehagronya, Rav Abba Bar Tachlifa, Rabbi Elazar Mehagronya, and Rav Abba Bar Tachlifa, Iklo Lebe Rav Acha, Bereit Dravikas. We'll say a lot of names over here. So again, one more time. You have Rabbi Elazar of Agronya, Rabbi Abba Bar Tachlifa. They're traveling to the home of Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, Ba'asre Drav Acha Bar Yaakov. And the city, in this city, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was the Rav, okay? So now remember, you have two Rav Achas. You have Rav Acha the host, that's Rav Acha Bereit Rav Ika, and Rav Acha the Rav of the city, that's Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha Bereit Rav Ika, the host, is hosting these two other Rabbanim, Rabbi Elazar of Hagronya, and Rabbi Abba Bar Tachlifa. Boi Rav Acha Bereit Rav Ika, Eved Luhut Igla Tilsa. So what happened? So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov wanted to prepare a very nice meal for his guests. So what did he want to make? He wanted to make an igla tilsa. So we'll say an igla tilsa, Rashi brings down over here, can mean one of two things. It either means gadol shlish, it's reached one third of maturity, or the second possibility is that it's third born calf. Rashi's lashon acher shlishi lebeten. We will say the idea is the same, which is apparently the meat is exceptionally soft. So he wanted to prepare an iglet also. So what does he do? I see sakina the kamach velahu. So what does Rav Acha Bereit Rav Ika, the host, do? He takes out the knife and he shows it to his two guests, giving them covet of examining the knife. Amar lahu Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa lo lechosh le l'saba. But Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa says, 1 second, are you not concerned for the elder? The Rabbo said, the elder that he's talking about over here is who? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who is the Rav of the city. Why are you showing us the knife? Show the knife to Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, who is the Rav of the city. Amar Lehu Rabbi Lazar Mehagronya. Rabbi Lazar Mehagronya says, but one second, remember, Rabbi Lazar Mehagronya was the other guest. See, he says, Hachi Amar Rava. This is what Rava said. Sorva Mirabanon Chazil Nafshe. A Talmud Chacham doesn't have to show the Shechita knife to someone else, but rather he wants. He has the ability to look at it on his own. On his own. So here you have Rabbi Lazar Mehagronya saying, we don't have to show it to the Rava of the town. It's the Shechita is being done for us, therefore we can look at the knife ourselves. Ve'i'anish Rabbi Elazar Mehagronya. And Abu Sa'id Gimara says that Rabbi Elazar Mehagronya was punished. He was punished bidei shamayim for going ahead and demonstrating this lack of kavod for the Rav of the city. V'ha'amar Rava, Tzorvei Mirabanan Chazei L'Nafshei. But Rava says, but the Gimara says, but why would Rabbi Elazar Mehagronya, so remember what we'll say, Rabbi Elazar Mehagronya was the one who said they didn't have to show it to the Rav of the city, they could just look at it themselves. But as the Gimara, but Rabbi Elazar Mehagronya was right. After all, Rava himself said that a Talmid Chacham could look at the knife himself. Shaini Hasam Da'aschilu Bichvodo. Now, the difference over here, Rabbi Elazar, is what? Is they brought up Rav Achar Bar Yaakov's name. See, now, when Rava said that you can show the knife to a Talmid Chacham for his own Shechita, fine. They'll make a production out of it. It's his own Shechita, just show him the knife. Once you begin to clear the kasha, right? Once you begin to discuss it, once you begin to go back and forth, and you begin to say, well, maybe we should really show it to the Rav of the city, Fimar says, great. Once you've done that already, show it to the Rav of the city. Because not to do that, meaning once you've mentioned that possibility, and not to do that, that in and of itself is a lack of kavod to, in this case, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, and therefore, Belozim Me'agronia is held accountable. Vivoisema, another possibility is, Shani Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Maybe this is a totally different case, because Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is different. Why? The muflog. They're both saying, muflog literally means that he's set aside, right? Which means that he, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was a Gadol Hador. Maybe Gadol Hador is different. Maybe when Rav said that you could go ahead, and if you're shechting the animal for yourself, that you could look at the knife yourself, Tam Tchach will look at the knife himself, he doesn't have to show it to the Rav of the city. That's a stam Rav of the city, as great as he is. He's Rav of the city. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is not just Rav of the city. He's a Gadol Hador. And a Gadol Hador is treated differently. They should have shown him the knife. Amar Rava. This is another interesting issue, we'll say. Ula afrushe mi isura afidu b'fanav shapir dami. We'll say, as much as we've laid the groundwork to explain that Lamaisa Talmud is not permitted to pass in halacha in front of his Rabbi, there is one exception to this. Rava says that if, let's say I see someone committing an Isser, I am permitted to go ahead and tell them that what they're doing is wrong, which in essence is psak halacha. Right? I'm telling them what the halacha is, and I am permitted to do that literally right in front of my Rebbe. Look at Rashi. La'afrushim Yisura, Ro'a Talmud, Adam, Rotze La'avar Avera, I see someone who's about to do an Avera, V'ravo Sham, and my Rebbe's there, V'shosek, and my Rebbe for whatever reason is not saying anything, maybe he doesn't see it, Mutra the Talmud likpots of the ligor. The Talmud could jump in, give Musar and tell the person the halacha, even though they're in essence passing halacha in front of their Rebbe. Ravina Havayasa, first wide line I'll say. Ravina Havayasa Kamed Ravashi. Ravina was sitting in front of Ravashi. Chazye lahu gavra, the ka'asrali chamre, the chamre, pitsinsa bishapsa. And what did he see? He saw that on Shabbos, a man was tying his donkey to a palm tree. So we'll say he can't do that on Shabbos, because already we've learned extensively. He can't use a tree on Shabbos. So he can't tie an animal around the tree. So what happened? Rama be'kola v'lo ashkech be. He raised his voice, meaning he went ahead and he told the man that what he was doing was wrong. But the man didn't pay attention to him. Amrle le'havi hai gavra b'shamta. So then he said, listen, if you don't untie the donkey, I'm going to put you in cherem. So the Gemara says, remember, because you could be put in cherem for public flaunting of rabbinic law, right? That lemaisa of a person public, because that's a public chilul Hashem. So what happens? This is very interesting. Amar lei, so we'll say, remember, who did this? This was Rav Ashi. Amar lei, ki ay gavna, ki mischaza ka'af garusa. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Rashi says, Amar lei, Ravina l'Rav Ashi. So remember again, This is Ravina the Talmud. Ravina the Right, I'm sorry. So this says Ravina, who's the Talmud, was sitting in front of his Rebbe Rav Ashi. Sitting in front of his Rebbe Rav Ashi. Because so what happened? So Ravina jumped into action, told the man that what he's doing is usur. Then afterwards, Ravina went over to his Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, did I act inappropriately? Right? What I just did, does it look like chutzpah? Does it look like chutzpah? Amarlei, ein chachma, ve'ein tuvuna, ve'ein etza l'neged Hashem. So his Rebbe responded that literally, quoting the pasuk from Mishlei, there is no wisdom, there is no understanding, and there is no counsel opposite God. What does that mean? Komakom shiyesh bo chilul Hashem, wherever there is the potential for chilul Hashem, ein cholkin kavod l'rav. We don't go ahead and give kavod to the Rebbe. In other words, Rav Osai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod is at stake, we don't worry about the kavod of your Rebbe. So in essence, Rav Ashi told his Talmud Ravina, you absolutely did the right thing. You tried to prevent public desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and when that situation comes up, you need not worry about my kavod. Amar Rava. I suppose another Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rava. Bifanav Aser, v'chayiv Misa. Shelo b'fan of Aser, ve'in chayiv Misa. So Rav is b'fan of Aser, Rav look at Rashi, b'fan of Aser, v'horos. It is Aser to paskin halach in front of one's Rebbe, v'chayiv Misa b'dei Shemayim. And the Gemara even goes so far to say that you are chayiv Misa at the hands of heaven. V'hod Rava, lavli efrushim yisura koi, ela ala bali shah. So we'll say, obviously, building on the past sugya, this is not talking about a circumstance in which there's a potential chilul Hashem, but rather, what is this talking about? Someone asks a shayla. So to pask in that shayla in front of one's Rebbe is asr and chayiv misa. Shelo b'fanav, to pask in halacha not in the presence of one's Rebbe, asr is still asr, ve'in chayiv misa. But one is not chayiv misa. Okay? So the Gemara says, v'shelo b'fanav lo, is that true that when you're not in the presence of your Rebbe, you're not permitted to pask in halacha? V'hatanya, but we learned, Rebbe Eliezer omer lo meisu b'nei Aaron, Ashahoru halacha bifnei Moshe Rabban. But Rabbi Eliezer said that the sons of Arnadav and Avihu only died, why? Because they paskin the halacha in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. My drosh, what did they paskin? So the Torah says, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen, ish ala mizbeach. So the Torah says that the Kohanim, right, the sons of Aaron the Kohen, the sons of Aaron ha-Kohen, will go ahead and put an ish on the mizbeach. Amru, so Arnadav and Avihu said, Af apisha ish yoredes min hashamayim, even though the fire descends from the heavens, mitzvah lochavi min ahedjot. There is still a mitzvah to kindle a human fire. That's why ultimately they, according to this opinion, the Gemara, that's why they died. That's why they were killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they are more aloha b'fnei rabban. But I will say, what the Gemara is picking up on that is that what was the violation? The violation was what? B'fnei rabban. Bifnei Rabban. That's why it was also because they ultimately did it in the presence of the Rebbe, which would seem to indicate that if it's not in the presence of one's Rebbe, that it really should not be as much of a problem. The Gemara goes weiter. The Talmud Echad Hayulol the Rebbe Eliezer. The Rebbe Eliezer had a Talmud Chach, had a Talmud, a student, Shahora Halacha Bifanav, and the Talmud Paskind Halacha in front of his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Li'ima Shalom Ishto. Rabbi Eliezer said to his wife, whose name was Ima Shalom, he said to his wife, Tamiya ani im yotzi zeshnasol. I would be surprised if my Talmud lives out the year. And indeed, velo hotzi shnasol. She did not live out the year. Amra lo. So Ima Shalom, his wife, said to him, Naviata, are you a Navi that you knew the student wasn't going to live it throughout the year? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Amra lo, lo Navi anochi, velo ben Navi anochi. I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. Alakach mikublani, but this is the Mesorah. Kol ha-mora halacha b'fnei rabo, chayiv misa. Whoever paskins halacha in front of his Rebbe is ultimately chayiv misa. But you have to understand, the reason why there's such a severity is because part of what Judaism, and this is a challenge, I think, in our present generation, but part of what Judaism is based on is a respect for Mesorah, is a respect for the Torah, for the Torah Savicha, for the Torah Simecha, for that which was handed down by those before you. When a Talmud paskins halacha in front of one's Rebbe, what that ultimately is a disrespect for the Mesorah. When you don't have a respect for the Mesorah, you don't really have Judaism. Without the Mesorah, we don't have Torah. So ultimately, to paskin in front of the Rebbe, which ultimately asserts one's, we'll call it, Masoretic autonomy, above and beyond their Rebbe, by definition, is a Judaic breakdown. And when that happens, the Gemara says, Chayiv Misa. So Rabbi Eliezer just knew, he knew that when this happened, this was not going to end well for the Talmud. So the Gemara goes, Vaitava, Amr Rabbi Bar Barchana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Barchana said, Rabbi Yochanan, also Talmud, Yehuda ben Gurya Shmei. His name, the Talmud that died, was his name was Yehuda ben Gurya. Vahaya Rachok Mimeru Shalosh Parsos. And this actually happened, three Parsos, meaning he didn't actually pass Kalach in front of Rabbi Eliezer, but rather he was three parts, a good distance away. So we'll say, first of all, that poses a kasha, why? Because the Gemara just said before that a Talmud shouldn't pass an aloch in front of his Rabbi. But if he does so, it's aser, but there's not a chiyuv misa. But here you see that here this Talmud, Yehuda ben Gurya passed in front of his Rabbi Eliezer, and yet he was chiyuv misa, to which the Gemara says, no. It's not true. It wasn't three parsels away, but in fact, he passed in halacha right in front of his Rebbe. Ay, v'ha rachok mimenu, shalosh parsels ka'amar. But the Braisa just said that he was three parsels away, to which the Gemara says, ulatameich, and according to this reasoning, shame v'shem aviv lama, why did the Braisa have to record his name and his father's name? Why did I have to say Yehuda ben Gurya? Elo shalot tomar mashal hava. Rather, in order that you shouldn't say that this is just a parable, that it's not, it didn't really happen. It's just it's a Baba Maisa, to which the Gemara records the name to show you what? It did happen. Therefore, the Gemara is saying over here is, what Shalosh Parsos actually means was, it's telling you where Yehuda ben Gurya lived. Yehuda ben Gurya lived in a place that was three parsels from Rabbi Eliezer. But the actual event of him passing halacha took place right in front of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara essentially says, why are we giving you his name and address? So that you should know that it's a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. That literally this event happened, and it's not just a mashal, it's not just a parable. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Cholamora halacha bifnei rabo. Anyone who passes halacha in front of his Rebbe, ro'i lahakisho nachash, really should be bitten by a snake. Shene Amar, vayon Elihu ben Barachel Habuzi. So Elihu ben Barachel, the Buzi, said it was, and this is quoting over here from Sefer Iyov. Vayomer, so'ir ani liyamim. I am young in days. Al kin zachalti. Therefore, I am afraid. Therefore, I am afraid. So, we'll say, the way the Gemara is dashing over here is this zachalti, this afraid of Eliyahu ben Barachel, is he was afraid to go ahead and advance his opinion. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, quoting over here the pasuk from Devarim, im chamas zochale afar. Ziiri amar, Rabbi Chanina, excuse me, Ziiri Amar Rabbi Chanina, Nikroch, I'm sorry, before we go on to that. So, Ksiv, Im Chamas Zochale Afar. Literally, Zochale Afar, I will say, means those who slither on the earth. So, Gemara is just making a little bit of a drasha. Elio ben Barachia said, Alkin Zachalti, I was afraid. I was afraid to say my opinion in front of my Rebbe. Why? Zochale Afar. Because of those things that slither in the dirt. What's the same things that slither in the dirt? That's the snake. So the Gemara just starts over there that somebody passed because in front of his Rebbe is right to be bitten by a snake. Ziiri Amra Uchanina, Nikrachote. In fact, it's Talmud who passed his halach in front of his Rebbe is called the sinner Shene Amar because the Pasuk says, Belibi Tzafanti Imrasecha, in my heart I kept my words. Lema'an lo echt alach, in order that I not sin against you. So again, the Gemara is still understanding, David HaMelech is talking about over here that in my youth, while my Rebbe was alive, I kept my words of Torah in my heart, which means I did not paskin in front of my Rebbe in order that I should not be a sinner. Rav Hamnuna Ramik Siv, Rav Hamnuna contrasted Psukim. On one hand, it says, Believe it's Afanti Imrasecha. So on one hand, you have David HaMelech saying, I kept your teachings, God, in my heart. Huksiv, and it also says, Bisarti, Sedek, Bekahal Rav. I went ahead and literally I spoke righteousness among a great assembly, which means that what? That David HaMelech did paskin halacha in public. So which one is it? Rav, so the Gemara says, Lokasha, kan bizman she'ira hayo ari kayum, kan bizman she'in ira hayo ari kayum. So we'll say, ira hayo ari was David HaMelech's Rebbe. So when did David HaMelech keep his teachings to himself? That's when his Rebbe was alive. And when did he disseminate his teachings in public? That's when his Rebbe had died. Amr Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Kolanosin Masnosav Lekoin Echad, Mevi Ra'av Li'olam. That's an interesting statement. Rabbi Abba says, whoever gives all of his tithes to one coin, brings famine to the world. You know, also the idea is a person is supposed to go ahead and support multiple Kohanim. If you give all of your tithes to one person, it brings a famine to the world. We give ourselves Shana Amar, Ira Hayari Haya Kohen LeDavid. That Ira Hayari was a Kohen for David. So the Gemara says, David who the Hava Kohen Mekule Amalo. So what does that mean? It was only a Kohen for David, but not for anyone else. Ella Shaya Mishagir Lo Masnosov. But rather, what it means to say is, David HaMelech sent Ira HaYari, he gave him all of his tithes. And what does it say right afterwards? Uksiv Basrei, Vayra'av Bimei David. And it says the very next pasuk that there was a famine in the days of David. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Moridin Oso Mikdulaso. Rabbi Eliezer says that if a Talmud paskins halacha in front of Rabbi, he loses his standing, he loses his stature. So the Gemara says, where do we know that? From Shnei Emar, Vayomer Elazar HaKohen El Anshei HaTzava. Because we both say the pasuk over here in Bamidbar speaks about that Elazar HaKohen gave the instructions to the Jewish people before they went out to war. Now the Gemara sees that as a mistake of Elazar HaKohen, because really Moshe should have allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to give the instructions.
We learned a little while ago about before everybody learned from, and they learned this because they were able to teach it to the people under them.
Right.
Doesn't that kind of
so there they were just retelling the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were not. That's not called Mora Halacha. They were giving over what Moshe had told them. That's different than rendering a halachic position.
You could say, my Rebbe said this is the halacha.
Correct. So that would seem to circumvent all of this. If a person is clearly stating the halachic position of the Rebbe, they become the mouthpiece of the Rebbe. So in that case, Aaron was the mouthpiece of Moshe. I'm sorry? That happened in front of Moshe. Yeah? So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, so here you have Elazar HaKohen gave over the instructions to the army. And the Gemara says, now here, interestingly enough, the Gemara faults Elazar HaKohen, even though he might have said to them that this wasn't commanded to me, but it was commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nevertheless, afilu hachi ionish. Nevertheless, he was punished. Tichsiv, v'lifnei Elazar HaKohen yamot. So it's actually very interesting. So the Gemara says, Elazar HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol after his father died, after Aaron died. And he was the primary Kohen Gadol during the days of Yehoshua. And yet we find that Yehoshua never once consulted Elazar HaKohen for any matter of national importance. So the Gemara says, why is that? It's not because he didn't end up needing Elazar HaKohen. And Elazar HaKohen suffered essentially a diminution in stature as a result of the fact that he gave over the instructions in the presence of Moshe. So the Gemara goes on. Amr Rav Levi called the Mosif Mila Kamei Rabbe Ozil the Sha'ol below Vlad. Whoever goes ahead and paskins halach in front of his Rebbe will go to the grave without children. Shene Amar Vaya'an Yehoshua Binun Misharis Moshe Mibachurav Vayomer Moshe Adoni Moshe Kilo'im. Because Yehoshua Binun, the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu, right, says to Moshe, remember, this is in a situation where Moshe Rabbeinu asks for some additional help, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests the spirit of Nevuah upon a whole group of people, and when they start prophesizing, Eldad Umeidad, we're still prophesizing. So Yehoshua runs to Moshe and tells Moshe, make them stop. The Gemara sees that as a lack of kavod, because Yehoshua was giving Moshe an order. Make them stop. So the Gemara says, Uksiv, Nun bino Yehoshua bino. And yet again, when recounting genealogies, the Torah speaks about Nun was the son, and Yehoshua was the son. But interestingly enough, it does not record any children of Yehoshua. The Gemara seems to indicate, based on that, Yehoshua did not have children, and the Gemara ascribes Yehoshua's lack of children to the fact that he rendered a halachic decision or told Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. Upligud Rav Abba Bar Papa. Don't Rav Abba Bar Papa. Lo ne'enash Yehoshua ela b'shil shebitel es Yisrael layla achas mipir v'rivya. So also here's what's interesting, that apparently everyone seems to agree that Yehoshua is culpable for something, liable for something, the shayla is what? Comes along Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, who said the name of Rav Abba Bar Papa, that Yehoshua was only punished, why? Because he was mevatel. He prevented the Jewish people from procreation for one night. The entire people for one night. What happened? Shene'emar. Because the pasuk says, "Va'yibios Yehoshua b'Yericho." Yehoshua was in Yericho. I'll say, when the Jews come into Eretz Yisrael, the first battle they have to wage is against the city of Yericho. So they come into Eretz Yisrael, they're by Yericho, Vayisa Inav, he lifted his eyes, Vayar. And what does he see? So the Pasuk says, Vayar, Vihine Ish Omeid Lenegdo, Vecharbo Shlufa Biado. So it's the middle of the night, Yahushua sees a man, and the man has a drawn sword. The man has a drawn sword. So what happens? Uksiv, so interesting, the Pasuk goes on, that Yahushua asks him, Halanu Ata Im Letzarenu. Why are you here? Are you a friend or foe? Vayomerlo, the Malach was Uksiv, the Malach responded, Ki ani Sar Tzva Hashem, Ata Basi. The Malach says to Yahushua, I am an angel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata Basi. I have come, literally what it means is, I am here for the now. Ata means now, here. I am here for the now. What does that mean? So Gemara explains, Amrlo, the Malach said to Yahushua, Emesh bitaltem tamid shalbein arbaim, va'achshev bitaltem talmud Torah. So the Malach says to Yahushua, listen, yesterday, which means, remember, this is at night. So really what the Malach is saying is, yesterday means that previous afternoon. So the previous afternoon, you did not offer up the talmud shalbein arbaim. You did not offer up the afternoon sacrifice. And now, anachshev bitaltem talmud Torah. And now you're not learning. So we'll say, remember, the reason they didn't offer the Talmud Shal Shach, the Talmud Shal Ben Abayim, was because they were at war. They were at war. And the truth is, the reason they're not learning now is, remember, they're still at war, technically. Meaning that they're still surrounding the city of Yericho. So, but the Malach says, I'm here because you're in violation of these two things. So Yahushua says, Amar Lei, Al Eza Mehen Basa. So Yahushua says to the Malach, okay, so which one are you here for? Meaning, we have a couple of, right? Are you here because you didn't give the carbon? Are you here because you're not learning Torah? Are you here for both? What exactly is the problem? Amar lo, atabasi. So the Malach says to Yahushua, atabasi, I am here for the now. What's the now? Bittul Talmud Torah. I am here for the fact that right now, no one is learning Torah. So the Gemara says, miyad, immediately, vayelech Yahushua balayla hahu, besoch ha'emek. So immediately what happened? Yahushua went that night, besoch ha'emek, into the valley. V'am Rabbi Yochanan says, what does that mean? Melamit shahalach bo'umka shal halacha. It teaches us that he immersed himself in the valley of Torah. Valley of Torah. So what does that do with Peri V'Rivia? Ugmiri, and we have a tradition, that what? Ugmiri, the cholzman sha'aron ushchina shiruyin shalobim koman asrim b'tash m'shamita. The fact that Yahushua now got involved in Talmud Torah, what didn't they do? They did not take the Aron back to the Mishkan. So because they did not take the Aron back to the Mishkan, there is a Masorah that we have, that whenever the Aron is not in its place, so there's an issue, there's a prohibition on Tashmish Shamita. So because ultimately, again, which also means, what it really means also is that the Aron is in the middle of the camp. If the Aron is in the middle of the camp, so it's not appropriate then for physical intimacy. So because Yahushua now went right to Talmud Torah, they did not take the Aron back to the Mishkan. Because they did not take the Aron back to the Mishkan, then what? Then it prevented the entire Jewish people from physical intimacy that night. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that Lamaisa, that was the sin that Yahushua was held accountable for, and that was the sin that he was punished very severely for lack of children. I will say, this fits a little bit better than the previous idea, because here you see a little bit of a punishment that's Mida Keneged Mida. He prevented Puri of Aridia on that night for the entire Klal, and therefore, he's punished with the lack of personal Puri of Aridia as well. Okay? So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amr Rav Shmuel, Bar Inish, Mishmei Derav. Rav Shmuel Bar Inish said the name of Rav. Godol Talmud Torah Yosem Yakravas Tamidin. You see from here that Talmud Torah is even more important than Karbanos. The Amr Le Ata Basi. Because the Malach says to Yahushua, why am I here? I'm not because of the Karban. The Karban is a forgivable offense. What I'm here for is the lack of Talmud Torah. Amr Rav Drona Amr Rav. Says Rabbi Rono, before we read the pasuk, anyone who sleeps in the ki'ila, now we'll look at Rashi in a moment. Rashi's ki'ila literally means a canopy, but Rashi doesn't mean it means the cheder. Whoever sleeps in the same room, she'ish v'ishto shiruyin ba, that a man is sleeping with his wife, meaning whoever sleeps in the same room as a married couple, alav hakasuv omer, about that person, the pasuk says, Nishay ami tigrashun mi beistanugeha. The women of my nation are chased away from the house of their pleasure. Right? So which means what Rabbi will say? That if someone else is sleeping in that room, what it means is it prevents the couple from being intimate. So the person who's sleeping there ultimately is preventing the couple from the enjoyment of physical intimacy. V'amar Rav Yosef, afilu b'ishtomida. Rav Yosef says, that's true, even if what? Even sleeping in the same room with a married couple, if the woman herself is a nida. Because you'll say, in that case, maybe it's different, since the couple can't engage in intimacy anyway. What is the guy who's sleeping there really doing? So the Gemara says, no, it even applies if she's a nida. Rava, my Rava says, what are you talking about? Im ishto nida hi, taba alav bracha. Rava says, are you kidding? If the wife is a nida, then the guy who's sleeping in the room with the married couple, mamish, it's tzaddik, tava labrocha, it's a mitzvah. Right? Why is it a mitzvah? I guess because according to Rava, he's for sure preventing them from even potentially engaging in any ma'isa aveira. So listen to this, it's actually very interesting. So Rav Yossi says, come on, velohi, de'ad ha'idna man natre, and until this point, who was watching them? Right? Meaning what Rav Yossi is saying is, thank you, but a married couple doesn't need a shomer in the room to make sure that they don't violate the laws of Nida. The idea is, Rav said, and it's actually very interesting, that what Rav Yosef is highlighting over here is that when the husband sleeps with his wife, there's a certain enjoyment that just comes from the companionship of sleeping next to each other. See, even if she's a Nida, and ultimately they can't necessarily sleep right next to each other, or there's not going to be relations, when someone else is in the room, it puts the couple obviously on edge, even if intimacy is not going to happen. Therefore, Rav Yosef holds that if you go out and you prevent the intimacy from occurring, and ultimately, again, you even no intimacy, but you prevent that feeling of togetherness from occurring, because you're there, that's an incredible Aveira. So the Gemara says, okay, I will say now the Gemara segues back a little bit to Erevin for a couple of lines, and we still more Agada to our head. So the Gemara says, "Humavua, the Havadayir be Lachman Baristak." There was a particular mavui, and a guy. This is a non-Jew by the name of Lachman, the son of Ristak, lived there. So we'll say, obviously, you have a non-Jew in the mavui. What do you have to do? What do you have to do? You have to schiras malkum. You have to rent. You have to rent his rights in the chatzar in the mavui. Amrulei, Ogir Lan Rishusech. So he said to Lachman Baristik, listen, Lachman, let's rent us your rights. We want to rent your rights. We want to rent your rishus. Lo ogrele. Lachman Baristik wouldn't do it. Aser amulei la'abai. He came to Abai. So the Jew said, what are you supposed to do? Right, what are you supposed to do? So of course, the rabbis would tell them, shkoyach, move out. Right? That's the whole point of this. So amar lehu zil betili rishuseich olegab echad. So interesting, if Abai said, I have an idea for you. All of you should essentially be mevatel your rishus. Give over your rishus, your rights in the chatzar. All of you give over your rights to one individual. What happens if you give over your rights to one individual? Then what? Havilei yachid b'makom nachri. The yachid b'makom nachri lo aser. Oh, so we'll say, what a great etza. So you all give your rights over to one, which means essentially that how many Jews are living in the chatzar? Only one. You now have one Jew living with one non-Jew. What is the statement of the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir? One Jew living with one non-Jew does not have to be socher makom, right? Don't worry about it. Amrulei midi hutaima ela de lo shchiach de dairi. V'hacha ha kadairi. First of all, one second, you're ignoring your reality. The reason why one Jew and one non-Jew in a chatzer together works and the Jew doesn't have to rent the rights of the non-Jew is why? Because it's milsa de lo shchicha. That's not the norm. And milsa de lo shchicha lo gazu barabanan. But over here, Bosa, as much as all of the residents are ceding their rights to one, nevertheless, what is the reality? They're all living there. So very nice, they all gave their rishus to one Jew, so you could say mechanistically, technically, halachically, it belongs to one person, but you have a whole group of Jewish people living there. That's not the case of the Mishnah. Amar lehu, kol betuli rishusayo gabichad milsad lo shichai. So to which Abai responds, the idea of an entire chatzar giving up its rights to one individual is a milsa d'lo shchicha, is an uncommon circumstance. Umilsa d'lo shchicha lo gazi b'hu rabbanan. Right, and therefore a matter which is uncommon, the rabbis were not gozer. So Abaye defends his position, and Abaye says, "No, I still think this is a good etza. Why? Because you're right. I understand the whole reason why one Jew and one non-Jew, the Jew doesn't have to do anything, because the Milstul or Shricha, it's not a common case. And because it's not a common case, rabbis didn't legislate in it. But you know what? Everybody giving up their rights to one individual is also an uncommon case. Therefore, Abayis, I think it should work. I think it makes the entire chaser into the chaser of one Jew. Now it's one Jew with one non-Jew, and therefore no need for Schirus Makom. We'll say we'll continue here, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow. I'm sorry. So that we'll have to see. We haven't discussed yet what happens when you go and you're mevatel your rishus. We didn't speak about it yet. Not in this sugya. We spoke about it in passing in previous sugyas, but the Gemara has not concretely dealt with that yet. That's the next question.